Okay, good morning, everyone. Let's begin. I should say, let's continue. So we're picking up in Perek Hey Mishnah Hey. So if I remember correctly, I think we left off at number 6. We're going through the 10 miracles which occurred for our forefathers in the Beis HaMikdash, and focusing over here up to miracle number 6. If you would take a look at numbers, yes. No paper towels Wednesday. Goodness, good. Now that we took care of that, excellent. Thank you. Take a look at me. Well, hopefully, we'll finish this Mishnah by Wednesday. That's our goal. So we are picking up number 6. Thank you. Medrash Shmuel brings down. So remember, again, going through the 10 miracles which occurred in the Beis HaMikdash, and again, just to reorient ourselves a little bit, we are focusing on the lashon of the Mishnah, which says Asara Nisim Eru La'avosinu. Excuse me, Na'asu La'avosinu Beis HaMikdash. So remember again, the inclusion of that word La'avosinu for our forefathers indicates to us that these miracles were not simple, regular miracles, but rather, again, these miracles were inspirational miracles, miracles with a message, miracles to teach us something. So therefore, again, we're going through this entire list, hopefully gleaning the different ideas and understandings from each of these dramatic and beautiful miracles. So take a look at number 6. So up to miracle number 4. Miracle number 4 was Hanes Hadalit Hu Velo Ira Kari LeKohen Gadol B'Yom HaKippurim. So this, of course, is interesting and kind of stands in distinction to the rest of the miracles mentioned in the Mishnah, because the rest of the miracles mentioned in the Mishnah really have to do directly with Beis HaMikdash service, sacrificial service. This, of course, has to do with the Kohen Gadol, and is in a very specific context. So remember again, the halacha is that the Avodah of Yom Kippur is unique, because it can only be performed by the Kohen Gadol. And therefore, again, if the Kohen Gadol becomes tummy, the Kohen Gadol becomes ritually impure, so ultimately, again, he is precluded from performing that Avodah. There are many ways in which a person could contract tumah, ritual impurity. The particular impurity that's being referred to over here is that the Kohen Gadol experiences an emission. He experiences an emission, as a result, he becomes tummy. Now, the truth is, without getting into all the technicalities here, out of all the forms of tumah, the tumah through this type of emission is not by any way the most severe. In fact, all it requires is going to the mikvah and ultimately waiting until sunset. It's only a one-day tumah at most, not even a whole day. The only problem, of course, is that by the time the Kohen Gadol becomes tahar, Yom Kippur's over. So interestingly enough, if you take a look at number 6, so the Medrash Shmuel says, all the years the Beis HaMikdash stood, the Kohen Gadol never experienced this type of emission, a similar emission that would have made him tameh and preclude him from doing the avodah of Yom Kippur. So the Medrash Shmuel says something very interesting. Ratzalahu di'enu b'nei sazeh, ki yasa adam kav chomer mimena yisbarach. Now, before we go on, what's your question on this miracle? Is it necessary? I'm sorry? How else did they do the avoda? There was always a substitute. Remember, again, there was always a sgan kohen gadol. There was always a backup. That was throughout the year, and especially on Yom Kippur, that backup was already trained to be able to do the avoda in the event that something would happen to the kohen gadol. Remember, again, it's not just about tumah. The kohen gadol chas v'shalom has a heart attack and he dies. Who's going to do the avodah? You can't scramble. There was always a backup. By the way, remember again, there wasn't only a backup Kohen Gadol, there was also a backup who? A backup wife, which is always, of course, something very interesting to try to wrap our head around exactly how that works. But in any event, there was a backup wife. The Kohen Gadol had to be married. So remember, in the Beis HaMikdash, when you know that the avodah of Yom Kippur, the holiest day of the year, can only be performed by one man, you took all of the necessary precautions on the front end to ensure that the avodah would get done. So it's beautiful, and it's incredible, and it's wonderful that this miracle occurred. But if you take a step back, you ask yourself, and if the Kohen Gadol would have become tameh, if he would have become tummy, so what? Of course, again, it would have been, you know, wouldn't have been so wonderful for him. But Lamaisa, again, there was the avodah, the show would have gone on. The avodah would have gotten done. So the Medrash Shmuel says, what's the message? He says so beautifully. Ratzalahu di'inu bazeh, ki ha'adam yasa kav chomer mimena yisbarach. A person shall learn from this miracle and make a kavachomer for himself. What's the kavachomer? Ki hine, afal pi shi Yisrael, hayu mitaknin koing achar tachtof, shema yareba pisul keri. So what happens? Even though, again, says the Medrash Shmuel, there was another backup Kohen Gadol. There was someone else to be able to take care of things should something happen to the Kohen Gadol. Nevertheless, Ki yotzei HaKadosh Baruch Hu chas al kavod HaKohen Gadol. What does that mean? Ki yotzei HaKadosh Baruch Hu chas al kavod HaKohen Gadol. What does that mean? Hashem cares about the kavod of the Kohen Gadol. What does that mean? What does it have to do with this? So it could be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to give him the opportunity. Good. Although chas al kavod sounds like there's something else that's happening here. What's happening here? It's embarrassing. Remember, again, I want to point out something very important in the Mishnah. The Mishnah doesn't say that the Kohen Gadol never became Tamei. It could be that there were circumstances where somebody died in the presence of the Kohen Gadol and he became Tamei. The Tumah that's being described here is a very personal type of Tumah. It's a Kohen Gadol having an emission from his body. It's personal. So understand, if the Kohen Gadol doesn't show up for the Avodah the next morning, what's the first question people are going to ask? What happened? You know, if there's one thing that has not changed throughout the history of mankind, is people are yentas, right? People like to talk. So the Kohen Gadol, what happened? Where's the Kohen Gadol? What happened? He became Tamei. And what's going to be the next question? What happened? And it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing. The personal details of the Kohen Gadol's life that he had a mission is going to come out to the general public. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the miracle, says the Medrash Shmuel so beautifully, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu going through miraculous channels so as to avoid embarrassing the Kohen Gadol. Because had the Kohen Gadol not shown up because of a Tumas Keri, because of a seminal emission, it would have been embarrassing to him. And therefore, V'lo ira Keri the Kohen Gadol b'yom kippurim, k'dei shel v'zalzel b'chvodo. So isn't this incredible? HaKadosh Baruch Hu performed the miracle so that the Kohen Gadol should never be embarrassed. Again, to be clear, this doesn't mean that things didn't happen over the course of Jewish history that prevented the Kohen Gadol from doing the Avodah. That might have happened. But this particular type of personal tumah never occurred to the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. Why? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is makbid with the kavod of the individual. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will engage in miraculous activity so as to avoid embarrassing the person. What's the message for us? Says the Medrash Shmuel, Kal v'chomer, Shetzarech la'adam shlo yizalza b'chvod chavero, ki gadol kavod habrius. Says the Medrash Shmuel, wow, what an incredible lesson for us. If the Ribono shel olam b'chvodo ba'atzmo does miracles in order to go ahead and safeguard the kavod, the honor, the dignity of the Kohen Gadol, how careful we have to be to honor and to safeguard the dignity of one another. Such an incredible lesson, which is also beautiful, because what you see over here is we often think of the Beis HaMikdash as what kind of place? A place where you worked on what? What did you work on? You come to the Beis HaMikdash? What? And what you begin to see is the beauty of the Beis HaMikdash. And we're going to see other examples of this. He said it was the place where you came not only to work on your Bein Adam L'makom, but also on your Bein Adam L'chaveiro. Incredible. Take a look at number 7. Next miracle. Hanei Sahe. Right? The fifth miracle was, Shalokibu Hagishamim Es Ish Shal Atzei HaMa'aracha. The fifth miracle is that the rains never extinguished the fire of the Ma'aracha. So first of all, what does it mean, fire of Ma'aracha? What is this miracle? What is this miracle? Which fire? Eisham. Excellent. Meaning, remember again, two Mizbechos in the Beis HaMikdash, right? What are the two Mizbechos? Mizbeach HaNechoshesh, which was where? Right in the chatzar outside of the bay, or I should say, in the courtyard. And what was done on that mizbeach? Karbanos, animal sacrifices. Second mizbeach, right? The mizbeach hazov, which was on what was offered on that kitoris inside of the Beis HaMikdash. So remember, again, we actually learned in last week's parasha, the halacha is that there must be a constant ish Eish tamid tukad ba. There must be a constant fire on the outer mizbeach, the mizbeach hanechoshes. The mizbeach hanechoshes is outdoors. Eretz Yisrael has a rainy season. The fifth miracle, says the Medrash Shmuel, was that the rains never extinguished the fire on the Mizbeach. Never extinguished the fire on the Atzei HaMa'arach. And let's take a look at number 7. So Hodienu, says the Medrash Shmuel, so what's the message? Shehine HaMayim V'ha'esh Hem Beis HaFachim. So we're going to see actually two messages here. So number one is that, remember, you have the fire on the Mizbeach, you have the rain, which is water. Fire and water, says the Medrash Shmuel, are two opposites. Visonim ze lo ze, literally translated, they hate each other. But of course, what it means is they're polar opposite forces. Ukedei la'asos ritzono yisbarach, asu shalom beinehem. What does that mean? To fulfill the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what do? They made peace with each other, so to speak. V'lo kibu ha'gishamim es ish sha'atzei ha'ma'arach. And the mayim, the rain, did not extinguish the fire on the Mizbeach. So something amazing occurs. In order to fulfill the Ratzon HaBorei, in order to fulfill the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, nature reconciled itself. The opposing forces in nature, fire and water, reconciled themselves, ultimately in order to go ahead and fulfill the Ratzon Hashem. Ukiyotze bazeh. Amru Chazal. So of course, again, the Medrash quotes the other notable example. What's the other notable example of this? Where Eish and Mayim reconciled each other with each other. Barad. Excellent. Barad. B'makas ha-barad. Ki haya barad ve'eish mislakachas b'socha. But remember again, barad, hail, is naturally water. There was fire inside of the hail. V'lo haya zeh mechabe es zeh. One did not extinguish the other. So what do you think the message is? What's the message? Make shalom. Right? So the message, again, another beautiful Ben Adam Lamakom message. Message number one with the Yokoin Gadol was, be careful with the dignity of one another. Message number two is, we need to learn to get along. In Klal Yisrael there is fire. In Klal Yisrael there is water. Fire and water naturally cancel each other out. They cannot coexist. But yet we see that when it comes to serving a higher purpose, when it comes to serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even fire and water must learn to coexist. Look at the Medrash Shmuel writes. He says, Im ken yadun ha'adam kavachor me'atzmo, im ha'mayim va'eish she'enam mekadim schar, im kol zeh, he mevatlim ritzonu v'tiva mepnei ritzonu yisbarach. So remember again, the fire and water, which of course, quote unquote, receive no reward, right? They're not mekabli schar. They do what they're told, yet they reconcile with each other, so to speak, to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Anu, shanu mitzapim letagmo al achas kama vekama, shenebato ratzon yitzreinu, mipnei ratzon yotzreinu. See, interestingly enough, the Medrash Shmuel gives like a double message over here. He says, he understands it in two ways. He understands that fire and water are coming together to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he understands that what are they both willing to do in order to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What are they really willing to do? Who said that? Good, excellent, right? Good. They're willing to go against their nature, right? They're willing to go ahead and say, even though I'm a certain way, I'm going to change that ultimately to serve my Creator. So the Medrash Shmuel delivers two powerful lessons over here. You know, sometimes, I guess we all do this at different times. I know that there's something broken inside of me, and I know that it's not good, and I know that I have to change it. But what do we often say to ourselves or say to others? Right? This is who I am. Right? This is who I am. So it's not true. When it comes to serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, sometimes, yes, we are born with certain predispositions, and we are born with certain proclivities, and we are born with certain character traits. But at the end of the day, sometimes you have to figure out how to change yourself, how to modify yourself. Sometimes there might be something that is part of your teva. You know, a person can have a very bad temper. It can be part of their temperament, right? A person, ultimately, it can be one of those individuals who is a bit of a balas gaiva. That could be part of your temperament. But just because it's part of my temperament, just because it's part of my teva, does not give me license not to address it. If I need to change something in order to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then it is my sacred duty to do that. Where do we learn that from? For the kipu gishamim, as sha'atzei ma'aracha. Ultimately, again, the rain did not extinguish the fire. The fire did not extinguish the rain, so to speak. Meaning it's two converse miracles. By the Beis HaMikdash, it was the rain that did not extinguish the fire. By the Barat, it was the fire, it was the water, the ice, that did not extinguish the fire. So again, you see this incredible, incredible dialectic. Fire and water were willing to yield on their teva when it came to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There may be certain character traits that are innate to us. There may be certain behaviors that are innate to us. But saying that this is my teva, this is who I am, is never an excuse for erroneous negative behavior. If I know that in order to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I need to address something within myself, then I need to find the strength to do that. And even if it means addressing something that comes naturally to me, addressing something that feels innate to me, I have to do that. In addition, there's another Bin Adam Mechaleiro message over here. You know, in life, we often tend to surround ourselves with people like us. People like us. Because it's easy, your friends are like you, maybe sometimes your family's like you, not so. But we generally, human beings tend to gravitate to people like them. There's nothing wrong with that inherently, but it's important for us to have a hakara that Am Yisrael is made up of many, many, many kinds of people. Many of whom are not like us in one way or another. To be part of the klal, you have to figure out ways to connect with the fire, even if you're the water, and with the water, even if you're the fire. In order to build a klal, ultimately, again, you have to be able to learn how to connect, interact, and forge some level of relationship with all different kinds of people. But I'll tell you something amazing. You see, if you notice what happened over here. So the Mishnah says that the water, the rains, did not extinguish the fire. By Barad, right, by Barad, the fire didn't extinguish the ice. See, interestingly enough, one didn't extinguish the other, but what didn't happen? Well, it's a strange question. What didn't happen?
They didn't become one.
They didn't become one. This is very important. The fire didn't stop being fire. The water didn't stop being water. This is even more pronounced than Barad. Right? They were both there. Something amazing occurs. You see, sometimes people think that in order to forge relationships in Am Yisrael with people who are not like you, you have to give up a part of yourself. You have to become something different. And it's not true. It's not true. There is the ability to coexist with all kinds of people. And that doesn't require you to stop being you. That doesn't require you to give up or to erode your practices or beliefs. It doesn't require you to always give in to the other. This is an incredibly powerful yisod. The fire always remained the fire. The water always remained the water. What they did is, fire said, water, I'm not going to destroy you. Water said, fire, I'm not going to extinguish you. So they both yielded to the other to give the other space to exist. But the fire never said, okay, I'll become water. And the water never said, I'll become fire. The ability to maintain your own identity while still forging relationships with the other is really the key to achdus. This miracle is not just a regular miracle. This miracle is mamish the key to achdus. Because achdus, remember, if you're fire, it's easy to have achdus and to feel a sense of connectedness and unity to other people who are fire also. But if you're fire, the goal is to connect with the water. And if you're water, the goal is to connect with the fire. So according to the Medrash Shmuel, we really have two dramatic lessons. Lesson number one is sometimes the need to go ahead and address your yetzer. So even if at the end of the day, if there is something standing in between you and a meaningful relationship of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the ability to connect with the Ribbono Shel Olam, you can't just say, this is my nature. Sometimes you have to change your nature. Sometimes you have to adjust your nature so as to be able to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the most beautiful and perfect way you can. That's lesson one. Lesson two is a lesson in Achdos Avin Adam L'Chaveiro. Leave, well, we're going to discuss this in further depth in later miracles. But ultimately, again, sometimes you have to accept that someone else is not like you. Forge a relationship with them where they are, while not giving up who you are. The fire makes room for the water. The water makes room for the fire. But the fire doesn't become water, nor does the water become fire. Take a look at number 8, Rabbi Lau. Rabbi Lau, in his parish, gives an additional piece. He says something beautiful. He quotes the Medrash Shmuel. Quotes the Medrash Shmuel, and he says, "Hamedrash Shmuel roa b'nei zel limud gadol. Hine afilu shnei hafachim mitivam, ke'esh umayim osem shalom b'neiam l'tzarech avodas Hashem." What do you see? You see that ultimately, again, even two opposites, like water and fire, make shalom between them in order to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All the more so, alachas kama v'kama shemechuyiv hayudi l'nasos lishbar estivo kadei lasos shalom b'shoshayim. Fire and water could change their teva to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how much we have to adjust our teva, when necessary, to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu as well. Take a look at paragraph B. B'cho Yehudi, nitzas midei pam ha'esh shel avodas Hashem. This is actually really quite beautiful. How would you translate this phrase? Inside of every Jew, nitzas pam midei pam ha'esh shel avodas Hashem. The spark of avodas Hashem is kindled. Love azu mispatas bihislavos ha'ochazes osa b'shaskiyum mitzvah o ma'aseh chesed. What is the Rav saying? What is he describing over here? A moment of what? Of inspiration. We all have those moments when we are inspired. We all have those moments where there is such an incredible hislavos. Sometimes it comes in a predicted way, but very often it comes in unscripted ways. I'm doing a mitzvah, and I just feel like a wave of divine energy. I'm doing a chesed, I feel a wave of hislavos. Nitan liras nar, hamis ater the rishona betfilin. So this is very beautiful. He says, if you ever see a young boy, go ahead and put on tefillin for the first time. Or, Bachar ha-mispalo shmura esei b'chodesh elo. Mamish pe-bechinas kolatzmo say tomarna. Right? So again, or you see someone davening shmura esei during chodesh elo, where a person davens literally again with their entire being. Yehudi ha-misamea chasen v'kala v'kulo ish lava. Or a person dancing before a chasen and kala, mamish with total hislavos, tefilas ni'ila, b'margeshes b'miyuchad, limudaf yishom meseches chadasha. So we all have our moments, right? We all have our moments of incredible inspiration, where the particular religious or spiritual act that I'm engaged in overtakes me in totality. I feel totally and overwhelmingly inspired. Paragraph C. Lehichan ne'elemes ha'islavos azu. So what does that mean? Where does it go? Right? Isn't this an incredible thing? Where sometimes we have these moments, and it's like, this is like the $1 million, you know, question in spirituality. Sometimes we have these moments where we are so incredibly overwhelmingly inspired. And then what happens? The next moment, I'm not. It's just gone. It's no longer here. And sometimes we find it very frustrating. Because again, it not only is it gone, but what? I don't even know how to get it back. So I'm trying to reclaim it. Let's see, I'm trying to re-experience it, and I can't even access it again. Where does it go? So look what Rabbi Lau writes. So ma'amemes ha'esh ha'pnimis she'bara b'cholos. What extinguished that internal fire that was raging with such intensity and passion? So what happens, says Rabbi Lau? Hagashmius. Now, this is very important. So what is the answer? What extinguishes the fire? So this is very interesting, materialism. So this is exceptionally important, because when we talk about gashmius, so what are we talking about? When I say that, what do you think about? I'm sorry? Things in this world. So a lot of times when you think about gashmius, so people often assume gashmius means an overindulgence in the material world. But in fact, you're going to see the way Rabbi Lau uses this term is Gashmius just means the physical world. The physical world. Gashmius isn't bad. Gashmius isn't bad. Gashmius just is. It is. Right? We live in a material world. We are physical beings. So Gashmius is an incredibly important part of our lives. But here, of course, is the great spiritual anomaly. That which is an indispensable, an important part of our life, Gashmius, also becomes the very thing which extinguishes our inner fire. So look what he writes. Hagashmius, haritza achar tzarche hayom yom. The day-to-day struggles of life. Not struggles, like just day-to-day life. Day-to-day life. Hatzorech, l'sapik et tzarche aguf. The need to take care of my physical needs. Kishena, like sleeping. Achila, eating. Da'agos parnasa, livelihood. Va'od kahena v'chahena. Hagashmios hi, shemechabe es eish hakodesh. Es ha'islavus la'avodas habore. It is the Gashmius ultimately that extinguishes the fire of holiness, that extinguishes this hislavos, this excitement for the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So let's analyze this for a moment. Because Rabbi Lau just used the word Gashmius in a very extensive way. So now what happens? Yeah, it's breakfast, I want to eat. It's lunch, I want to eat. It's dinner. I have to go here, I have to do this, I have to purchase this, I have to go to work. So Rabbi Lau says all that stuff, which by the way, most of us have to deal with. That's what extinguishes the fire of holiness. This is very interesting, because I think before this with Rabbi Lau, if I would have told you, Gashmius extinguishes the fire of holiness, and you would, and I would ask you, explain that dynamic to you. What, how do you explain that dynamic? What does Gashmius extinguishes the fire of holiness? Why is that so?
My mind's wrong.
Why are the opposites? By that, this is probably the most important theological pillar you will ever learn. Because this is the very tension we face every single moment. You see, sometimes when you speak about Gashmius extinguishing Ruchnius, see, the picture we have in our mind is, if a person's life becomes about the pursuit of wealth, right? So if that's what my life is about, that's what extinguishes Ruchnius, which of course is true. If your life becomes about the pursuit of wealth, if your life becomes about the pursuit of the biggest house, the nicest car, the most extensive wardrobe, then of course those things, it's okay to have those things. They just can't be the major pursuit of your life. Rabbi Lau is saying something much more fundamental. When you are focused on what you're eating for breakfast, what are you focused on? What you focused on maintaining your physicality. Is there anything wrong with that? No. But you're focused on something finite and temporal. When I'm focused on something finite and temporal, what am I not focused on? The nitzchius of my neshama. It's just a push and pull. It's not bad. It's not good. It just is. The struggle between Gashmius and Ruchnius is something that every single human being experiences. Because again, I'm a physical person, so when I get hungry, I'm not thinking about what Mishnah and Pirkei Avos I'm learning. When I'm hungry, I'm thinking about what I'm going to eat for lunch. What I'm going to put in my mouth, what's going to fill my stomach, that's what I'm thinking about. I'm thinking about maintaining my physicality. Well, in that moment when I'm thinking about maintaining my physicality, chances are I'm not thinking about what I'm doing to maintain my neshama. See, you see this incredible thing? Is it possible not to think about your physical needs? Is it possible? I don't think so. Maybe there are people who think a lot less about their physical needs, right? Maybe there are people who are not as attentive to their physical needs or just are willing to satisfy those physical needs in very basic, rudimentary ways that do not require all that much thought. But if you're a human being, then by definition, there are going to be times when you're going to focus on your physicality. And what Rabbi Lau is suggesting is that in those moments that I'm focusing on the physicality, I'm focusing on the gashmius, by definition, I'm not focusing on the ruchnius. It's just the dynamic of life. He says, "Agashmius hishe mechabes eish hakodesh es hislavus la'avodas habore." So isn't this incredible? It is the gashmius that ultimately, again, is what extinguishes the farachos. By the way, what is the paradigmatic example of this? The paradigmatic example. Is when does this happen to you most acutely throughout the year? Yom Kippur. When Yom Kippur? Matzah Yom Kippur. How are you feeling after an Ne'ilah? What? Right? On a high. On a high. No better. When does all of that change? Isn't it amazing? You take a bite of that bagel. And again, we're all happy to see the bagel, right? That's for sure. Mamish, the best bagel in the world in that moment, right? We're all happy to see the bagel. But it is interesting that you feel something different. You feel something different. There's a high that's there. And again, we're not malachim. I'm starving after Yom Kippur. I can't wait to get home and eat. But you know, there is that interesting tension. I want, if in a moment, you know, if you don't get caught in the stampede leaving shul, right? So if you take a step back for a moment and think about what's about to happen, there is this incredible tug of war between my body and soul. My soul says, don't go home. Don't go home. Because this moment that you're experiencing right now, you could drag it out for another couple of minutes, but at some point in time, it's going to come to end. My body says, one word, bagel, right? Bagel, 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 right? And it's an amazing thing. And you feel on that high, and you still feel on the high, even again, on Matzah Yom Kippur, but it's amazing. If you're conscious and self-aware of this, the dynamic changes the moment you take a bite of food. Why? Is there anything wrong with taking that bite of food? Is there anything wrong with it? Chas v'shalom. I made Avdalah, I made a bracha, I washed, I probably even made a bracha like with Kavana for the first time in who knows how long. I'm thinking about it, I'm going to bench with Kavana, I'm saying Divrei Torah, we're going to exchange the highlights of Yom Kippur. It's beautiful. But in that moment, what I'm doing is, the whole Yom Kippur, I was focusing on my Ruchnius solely, because there's no room for Gashmius on Yom Kippur, it just doesn't have a place. Right? There's no room. From literally, again, from my head to my toes, there's no room for Gashmius anywhere. And yet in that moment, when I begin to pay attention to my Gashmius side, and I'm not doing anything wrong, I want to be clear on that, nor should you infer from my words that there's some mitzvah to fast longer than Matzah Yom Kippur. No, go home and eat, we're human beings. But it is interesting how we feel different in that moment. That's what Rabbi Lau is describing. Because on some level, even though, again, we don't want to believe it, when I take that bite out of my bagel, I'm extinguishing some of the ruchnius. And again, when we say extinguishing ruchnius, it's not like I'm doing something bad. I want to be clear. I'm not doing anything bad. But it is this push and pull that we experience. Most of us cannot focus on two things exclusively, simultaneously. So if I'm focusing on one thing, by definition, I'm not focusing on something else. If I'm feeding my body, then usually I'm not feeding my soul. In that moment, there's a little piece that is extinguished. See, he goes on. He says, paragraph D. O se'ish, sheshikdo lo hefsek alam izbeach, halav shenitzcha sagishamim, mochichem lanu. She'in lezelzel b'hislavus rigos b'chol she'tiye b'avodas Hashem. Gashmius, eini yechola l'chavos l'chalutin eish amitis, hanovea mehargoshos hiskashos l'akadosh baruch hu l'toraso. So this is amazing. So it says Rabbi Lau, now that I know what really causes the flame, the spark of my spirituality to be extinguished, I know that it's Gashmius. And not overindulgence in the material, just simple material life. What's the message of the miracle? The message of the miracle is the rains never fully extinguished the fire on the Mizbeach. I'll ask you this question. When we say that the rains never extinguished the fire, do you think that the rains may have diminished the fire to some bit, in some way? It's possible, right? It's possible that when there was a downpour in Yerushalayim, that the fire did not burn as strong. But what did the rains never do? The rains never extinguished. Says Rabbi Lau something amazing. Is that understand that although there may be times where the Gashmias of life goes ahead and diminishes the fire of Ruchnius, it never extinguishes it. The fire of Ruchnius is always alive in the Jew. The fire of Ruchnius is always there. Sometimes it burns brighter, like in those moments of inspiration, and sometimes it may look a bit more diminished, but even in those moments where it looks diminished, it is still burning. It is still there. Paragraph E. Ulam kimo ish yardem min hashamayim ala mizbeach. Tafkido shel adam lishmar es ha'ish hazu kol ha'is. Alav lahosif itzim lema'aracha. Alav liskra kol hazman. Ki agash mius ma'ayemes lechabos es ha'ish hazu. Es ha'islavus. Im chafetz adam lishmor al ha'ish shiarda min hashamayim al islavus harishonis huzokik lohosif kol ha'is itzim lema'aracha. So this is beautiful. Says it right now. So message number one is really a number of messages. Message number one is be aware of the constant tension between your ruchnius and your gashmius. Just be aware of it. Number two, no matter how much the gashmius may diminish the fire, it can only diminish the fire. It never what? Never what? Never extinguishes the fire. This is so incredibly important. Message number three. If you know that the gashmius of life is going to potentially diminish your fire, so how do you go ahead and increase the fire of your ruchnius? What do you do? What do you add? What are they adding in the mizbeach? Wood. What's the wood of life? The wood of life are your mitzvos, your chasadim. So ultimately, again, message number three is fan your fire. Message number three is increase your fire. The Torah is filled with 613 planks of wood, 613 pieces of firewood. Each and every mitzvah that I add onto my neshama increases the fire of my ruchnius. So message number one, be aware of the constant struggle between your ruchnius and your gashmius. Number two, no matter how much the gashmius can diminish the fire of your ruchnius, nothing can ever extinguish your fire of ruchnius. It always remains. Sometimes it burns brighter, more intense. Sometimes it's more diminished and muted, but it is always there. Message number three, you can't expect your fire to replenish on its own. If you want the fire of your ruchnius to burn bright, you have to constantly and consistently, each and every day, stoke the fire. Add the wood. Contribute your Torah, your mitzvos, your chasan. In paragraph F, Kasher Yehudi chash shehu mislahi b'mitzvos kolshi alav lidog v'lachu sheslavu zu lo telach. L'kaimes ha-ne'emar eish tamid tukad lo sichbe. Ima Yehudi yisrom eschalko yazeh min ha-shamayim. So the amazing part is, if you put your logs, if you put your planks of wood on your fire, if you stoke your fire of ruchnius, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will add his fuel as well. If I put my fuel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts his fuel. I go ahead and maintain a constant awareness of the tension between my ruchnius and my gashmius. I maintain awareness that although at times my fire may not burn as bright, but even in those moments it is still alive and well inside of me. Then ultimately again, lo kibu hagishamim sha'atzei ha'ma'aracha. Nothing will ever extinguish my fire. But don't be content with your fire not being extinguished, but figure out how each and every day you could add your atzei ma'aracha. Figure out each and every day how to add your wood, how to add your firewood, how to add your Torah, your mitzvos, your chasadim so as to make your fire even greater, stronger, and more luminescent. All right, we'll stop over here for today. Rabbi Meir Tzachem, finish up the rest of the miracles on Wednesday. Good day, everyone.